This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
We're going to talk today about the balanced life. It's a common phrase. I was looking up on the internet. I found out there are books called The Balanced Life. There's a magazine called The Balanced Life. There are all kinds of articles and life coaches who will work with you to find what is called the balanced life. And yet I'm going to suggest with you today from the message, the truly balanced life is a life that involves Jesus Christ. You may think your life is balanced physically and socially and mentally, intellectually, in every way, but if Jesus Christ is not a part of the equation of your life, listen carefully, your life is unbalanced. Your soul is unbalanced. The balanced life involves what was described of Jesus in Luke 2. It says that Jesus grew in four areas. He grew in wisdom and stature, in favor with God, and in favor with man. That means he grew intellectually, he grew physically, he grew spiritually, and he grew socially. Those are the four areas of balanced life. And we're going to do this by looking at a passage of Scripture. I have to confess to you, I have never, ever preached from this passage of Scripture. Everywhere I've spoken through the Gospel of Luke, for some reason, I skipped this passage. I didn't think it was that earth-shattering, that important. It's in Luke 10. Luke 10, exactly where I left off last week, which is verse 38. We just finished the parable of the Good Samaritan last week, and it's right after that that Luke records this episode in the life of Christ. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" Now listen to this, another example of somebody giving Jesus an order. "Tell her to help me. Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I feel badly about how commentators have treated this passage of Scripture, because here's what a lot of them have done over the years. You may have heard sermons from this passage where Martha is criticized as the unspiritual sister and Mary is held up as the epitome of spirituality. Mary was the good sister and Martha was the not so good sister. Mary was interested in spiritual things, Martha was not. I think that's wrong. I don't think that's the intent of the passage at all, because I think it's a reflection of temperament. I think it's a reflection of personality. Martha, that was her home. She wanted to provide a meal for Jesus and perhaps the disciples that were with him. She was concerned about preparations for the meal. And believe me, if you've ever been at a home where you're hungry, you're glad that somebody is like Martha, right? You're glad that there's a Martha there who's preparing food. And so we misinterpret this and realize that the essence of the message, I think, in these verses is balance. There's a time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. There's a time to prepare the meal. Well, we'll continue this message from Luke tomorrow on Cross Hope. Today, January 2nd, 2017, marks the beginning of the 35th year of broadcast of these messages on the radio. It doesn't seem possible. We'll continue tomorrow. Look at our website, crosshope.org. Be sure and look at visual stories on crosshope.org. And so we misinterpret this and realize that the essence of the message, I think, in these verses is balance. There's a time to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him. There's a time to prepare the meal. And Jesus lovingly chastises Martha. He doesn't rebuke her. But the fact that he said, "Martha, Martha," he said her name twice, Commentators point out this, that it's a way of showing love. It's like a parent saying to a child, you know, Johnny, just listen here, just for a second. It wasn't a rebuke in anger. It was a correction in love. I want to go through this verse by verse, point out some things, and I'm going to give you three principles to take home, just like I did last week. Let's bring up verse 38, if we could. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. I would like for you to write this down in your notes. It's not going to come up on the screen. But opening up your home is a spiritual act, not just a social one. Would you write that down? Opening up your home is a spiritual act, not just a social one. There was no Martha Stewart program back then. She wasn't popular back then. People weren't into that kind of thing like entertaining, but there is a spiritual dimension to opening up your home. Why? Because the Apostle Paul gives this command in one of his letters, practice hospitality. He didn't suggest it. He was saying that's part of being a Christian. One of the saddest things I've ever encountered in counseling, even though it, in a way some people say, well, that's no big deal, but it is. Here's what I've heard people say over the years. Adults will tell me, Randy, I can never remember my parents ever having anybody over at our house for anything. And that's happened a number of times where people are reflecting on their childhoods and they're going back into their museum of memories and they're saying, you know, I can't remember us ever having anybody to sit down for a meal. I can't remember ever having somebody over just to have a cup of coffee. You know what that's a reflection of? It's a reflection of a regret in a person's life because they realize that they missed something. There is a spiritual dimension to hospitality that most people don't recognize. Did you know it's one of the qualifications for an elder to be given to hospitality? To opening up your home to people in the congregation, to be willing to have people in your home. Why? Because there's something dynamic that happens having people over, even for a cup of coffee, that doesn't happen at any other time. Did you know when you have people over in your home for a meal, it's one of the most intimate times of sharing? You know, the business world figured it out a long time ago. People taking people to lunch, people taking people to dinner because they realize that people let their guards down. There's more openness in sharing conversation over a meal. When Martha opened up her home to Jesus and the disciples, that was a spiritual act, not just a social one. That's something to remember this morning. Well, let's bring up the next verse if we could. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. Verse 40, if we could bring that up. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. I found out the word distracted in the Greek can literally mean to run in circles. You ever seen a dog that's chasing its tail doing that? Some people do that emotionally. They're just running in circles. So in other words, Martha was very distracted by what she was doing. And I want to ask you this question. What is it in your life that distracts you? Take a piece of paper and say, this is what distracts me from the Lord. And write down things at work that distract you from the Lord in social situations. And you might be amazed at the things that you and I would list that are distractions in terms of our relationship with the living God. What is it in your life that you're upset about? What is it that you worry about? You know, Satan, I'm convinced, wants us to be worried and upset about a lot of things. You know why? So we don't think about the most important thing. I think Satan wants you to be worried and upset about everything as long as you don't think on the main thing in your life, and that's your relationship with the living God. Ask yourself this question. What are the many things that upset me? What are the many things that upset me? Is it something that Satan is using to distract you from your relationship to the Lord? Having said all of that, I want to talk about the balanced life in three ways. I want to give you some take-home principles. Life can be out of balance, number one, individually. Life can be out of balance individually. If Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, which means intellectually and physically, and he grew in favor with God and with man, spiritually and socially, that is the pattern for my life. I want to grow up and mature like Jesus did. You should want to grow up and mature like Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in wisdom, stature, in favor with God, in favor with man. Brenda Hunter wrote a book called Where Have All the Mothers Gone? She writes this, "It is difficult to be a mother today. At every turn, we are told how to exercise, diet, dress for success, find fulfillment in career, and share tasks equally with our husbands. Additionally, we are encouraged to rear good children on minimal time. It is assumed that we want to look like an actress, so the lean, firm look is publicized with a vengeance. And then we listen to the billionaire cosmetic industry telling us how to achieve the beautiful face and just the right scent. Narcissism is the philosophy of the age. Articles and books tell us that our first responsibility is to ourselves. Don't live for your family. Don't allow mother feelings to curtail the pursuit of self. Our children may well mess up their lives or at best grow up and leave home, move out. So don't invest too much of your time in them. Besides, you might turn into a mom and make your children neurotic. You may turn into a mom and make your children neurotic. Husbands, they'll fail you too. The escalation of divorce supports the idea that number one is all that's left. If we women do not look out for ourselves, we may just find ourselves old, divorced, unfulfilled, and unemployed. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches balance in your life so that there is work, there are responsibilities, but there's a relationship to your family and a relationship, most of all, to Almighty God. I want you to think about this as the individual balance situation. Everything in your life is an outflow of your relationship to the Lord. What you are as a man or woman or as a teenager is a reflection of your relationship with the Lord. And do you know most people don't get that? Most people don't understand that. It never occurs to people that I have a balanced life because of Jesus Christ in my life. Jesus is not just to be another interruption in your life, another thing you add to your schedule. He's life. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and everything is an outflow of that relationship. Individually, is your life out of balance? You can be 70 or 80 years old and have your life out of balance. You can be 40 or 50 years of age and your life's out of balance. You could be a 20-something and your life's out of balance. You could be a teenager, a young person, and life is out of balance. If one thing happens, if Jesus Christ is not at the center of your life, there is no balance. Well, this message will continue on Cross Hope tomorrow. Be sure and look at our website, crosshope.org. Look at visual stories on crosshope.org. Let's bring up another one. Let's bring up the second one. Life can be out of balance as a family. Life can be out of balance as a family. We jokingly talk about soccer moms, and we talk about the soccer schedule, and we talk about Little League and all the things that people run to and they do in life, and we are a busy culture. I remember when our children were little that I was asked to coach a soccer team, and I didn't know how to play soccer, and I was asked to be a coach. And if you can believe this, I was asking the little kids on the team, "Can you teach me how to play soccer so I can be your coach?" Isn't that amazing? I was asking these little novices who'd never played before to tell me how to play soccer. But it was an example to me of how busy people can get when they get caught up in that and having to coach and having to do that and do all the other things in life. But it's so easy as a family to get out of balance. Let me tell you how it happens. It happens for the same way that individuals get out of balance, that Jesus Christ is no longer the center. Every wedding I conduct, I say this, that Jesus is the unseen listener to every conversation in a Christian home. Jesus is the unseen guest at every meal. He's the person that's present in every family conversation and family interaction. And you say, that's scary. Yeah, it is for some people. It would be. And families can be out of balance just like an individual can be out of balance. And once again, it doesn't mean to obsess over Jesus. It just means to make him the center of your life. And so that everything flows like spokes out of that center hub of life. I remember reading years ago about a farmer who decided to remove an old beech tree from his property. He noticed on the bark of the tree some marks that looked like the letters JL. JL. Very roughly cut, and below them some ornamental design. After the tree had been cut down, he was startled to find on the hard dry wood at the core of the tree, directly opposite the place on the bark, he noticed the carvings, the clearly cut letters JL on a dark background, and below them an anchor. Now here's the interesting thing. He counted the rings between the original carving and the outer bark, 37. Those letters, JL, were still on the tree, even though they were carved into the tree 37 years later. I want to ask you this question. What happens at the beginning of your family life are things that will impact your children for the rest of their lives. For the rest of their lives, and they will remember what was important. I share it every opportunity I have when I speak to parents of small children. The study that I've shared with you at the UCLA, two professors wanted to know what impacts children spiritually. They found out the mother has the most to do with what children believe. The mothers have the most to do with what a child believes, but dads only influence one more thing, behavior. Behavior. They get their belief system from mom, but their behavior system comes from dad, by and large. There are exceptions to that. Sure, there are. But by and large, there are things that happen in the family that impact individuals later on. You see, every family produces a group of individual adults later on who create new families. Listen to that again. Every family produces a group of individuals that will go out and start new families, and that new couple will start a family that will produce individuals that will grow out and start new families. The individual and the family are so important because they're intertwined. Well, isn't it interesting it is to me that I neglected preaching from this passage in a number of churches where I ministered. I share it with you today. You and I need to hear it. That's crosshope.org. Let's bring up one more about balance. Life can be out of balance even as a church. Life can be out of balance even as a church. I shared this with you not too long ago, but an actual picture was in a magazine. It was a Methodist church, and I'm not picking on the Methodist church at all. But they had their bulletin board, their sign out in front, and they had in large 4-inch letters, aerobics, Tuesday night at 7:30. And another 4-inch letters, they had other activities, scouting, moms, Mother's Day out, all their programs. And then in small 1-inch letters, at the bottom of the sign, it said, worship Sunday at 10:30. Well, it sent a message to me, folks. A message that they may not have intended to send, but what it was saying is, we have all these other things that are so much more important. They deserve 4-inch letters. And by the way, we worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on Sunday at 10:30. Churches can be out of balance. Let me tell you how that happens. We have lowered the measuring stick, so to speak, for churches and spiritual things. Do you remember those cardboard things that you still can buy at Walmart? You attach it to the inside of a door where you can measure the height of your children. It unfolds and it's cardboard, and you mark it, you put it at 6 feet, and you can mark the height of your children, and you mark the children's height as they grow up. Well, funny story I heard where one of those fell off and one of the kids reattached it about 5 inches lower than it was supposed to be. And one of the children came in and said, Dad, I grew 6 inches this summer. I grew 6 inches this summer. He didn't grow 6 inches. The standard was lowered. That's all that happened. The standard was lowered. We've done that even as churches in America. We've lowered the standards of what a church is to be and the godliness that people are supposed to follow. And the spiritual level of people is something that we don't see today because of our interest in other things. Interest in the social and the fun. Nothing wrong with that, but God is looking for people who are growing in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with favor with man. This is one of my favorite stories. How many of you have ever been to the Alamo in San Antonio? In the lobby of the Alamo in San Antonio, there's a picture There are portraits of Sam Houston, Davy Crockett, and others associated with the Alamo, but near the main entrance is the painting with this inscription, James Butler Bonham. No picture of him exists. This portrait, however, is of his nephew, Major James Bonham, deceased, who greatly resembles his uncle. It's placed here by the family that people may know the likeness of the man who died for freedom. Get this, no picture of James Bonham exists, but here's a picture of his nephew, so you have a sense of what James Bonham looked like. When I saw that and heard that immediately, I thought of what the church is supposed to be. People are supposed to be able to look at people like you and say, that's what Jesus is like. You say, well, why would people do that? Because that's the way it's supposed to be. Jesus Christ is to live in this church and in families and in individuals in such a way that when people see people here, they say, that's what the Lord is like. I'd like to think that that could happen here. I really would. There's a likeness of Christ in the individual lives because there's balance. There are people that are growing in favor with God and man, people who are growing in wisdom and stature. Well, at the beginning of this week, we told you that this week marks the beginning of the 35th year of broadcast of our messages on the radio. Our website is crosshope.org. Crosshope.org. God bless you, and thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.